a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
Attention.
With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented baby, by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's your Friday. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You are fully into the weekend. Stay safe on those dang roads out there. My heavens, it's a mess. It's been a mess all day, and you know what? It's supposed to be messy tomorrow, Sunday, Monday. And you know what? I'm here for it. Because if every day of snow, Mitch, brings us one fewer report on how dire the water situation is, the worst I hear is this one, too. By the way, it's just been dumping record numbers, obviously, since 1980, right? Or 1982 or whatever that bad flood season was. And it doesn't matter because you still have people come out of work and go, yeah, but we still need like 17 more of these winters in a row to even make a dent. And you're like, gosh, can we be positive for 1 second here? My heavens. Hey, Ute women in the Sweet 16 taking on LSU. They're down 13-11 with 4 minutes left in the first quarter. And Jeremiah Jensen and Michelle Bodkin, both in Greenville, South Carolina. So we're going to have JJ right as they go half. We'll get JJ on the phone and give us an update on the Utes and their number two seed and
great
they
battle
get to that Elite Eight
in the post with Alyssa Peely and Angel Reese.
Yes,
great battle in this.
I'll take Alyssa Peely every time. Look at that box out.
Utah, they win this game. They're probably going to the Final Four.
Let's hope, because I think in the next round they'd be taking on Miami, right?
Yeah, they take on the Cavender Twins in Miami.
The Cavender Twins. Now, how many Instagram followers do they have now?
They've got millions.
I know.
I saw them live. I actually covered a game with them.
When they were
they played Fresno? BYU.
Oh.
Yeah, they played against BYU with Fresno. Yeah. They're good. They're ballers. They're legit.
All right. Here's what we've got. Matt Biamonte, Cougar Sports Saturday. KSLSports.com, you can see him covering the Cougs. He and Mitch do a masterful job. And now I'm going to make it awkward and bring them both on the program here. So, Matt, how you doing, man?
Doing great. Loving the snow. I love not being able to get where I want to go to.
Reasonable amount. I knew you'd find something negative about all this. You can work from home, dude. You have the most.
I prefer, actually, to work from home.
I know. So quit the complaining. You're like, I can't get around in the snow. Yes, you can. We need
the
water.
Ask Mitch, how much fun was it getting to the indoor practice facility this morning?
Oh,
Mitch?
It was brutal. It was a nightmare drive. I was just getting all the traffic updates here on the station. It was just like, when is this going to clear up?
See,
it got
a
little bit better in Utah County.
Yeah, I love that. I love the idea of like the Jacksonville Jaguars, like two or three guys in like a rented Altima. Trying to drive down to Provo to like get it done. They're like, what are we? Oh my gosh! It's like we're in Buffalo.
Matt and I were talking one of the new BYU QBs down at Pro Day today, and he's just like, I'm not used to this weather. He's a new guy. He's like, this is just not good weather. He's like, I do not like this. And we're like, hey, this is kind of a new thing. These sort of winters that carry into spring, but hopefully it eases up soon and we get some some clear skies eventually.
Yeah. Pro day today, Matt. I think that everybody can agree way too many guys were working out for the scouts. That will be whittled down, of course.
You would take a negative angle here, Alex.
See? Don't tell me. You didn't yawn one time when one of these guys goes out there and you went, oh, boy, I don't know if this dude's going to have a future in the league. Like, let's stick with that accounting degree. But I wondered, though, with all the guys who are working out and with all the stuff that is going on and you know, BYU TV blew it out big time, and they're not going to be able to do this in the future. Is it a better move to move to that pro day that they're going to have that's going to be an NFL, Big 12 kind of collaboration?
It'll be a better move for the guys that have an actual chance to be drafted, but it's a worse move for the guys who probably wouldn't have gotten a free agent deal, but maybe they wow someone and get a mini camp invite or a free agent deal and they have a chance. Because there's no, you know, I just don't see how you have a pro day. Like BYU, I think, had like 15 dudes today. Every team from the Big 12 is not going to send 15 dudes. That'd be over 100 players. That'd be a multi-day event. So I think there's going to be a limit to how many guys you can send to the Big 12 pro day. And it might just close the door for like a Jonah Trenuman from years past who just had a crazy fast. Like this year, I think Mitch would agree, Caleb Hayes had some impressive numbers. A defensive back who had been there for 2 years. He had a 40-inch vertical, sub 4.4, unofficial 40 time. It was like 4.31 was the unofficial time. Those kind of numbers could warrant a mini camp deal, and who knows what happens. And when you move to the Big 12, does a guy like Caleb Hayes get an invite to that event? Because like Jaren Hall, the quarterbacks, like they're going to get invited. Blake right. Freelands, those dudes, they're going to get invited to the Big 12. Does Caleb Hayes get invited though, because at this pro day he's earned himself an opportunity that maybe wasn't there when the season ended?
Well, I was thinking too about that, because it was, what about the guys who are a year or two removed and they're, you know, is Cam Newton going to show up to the Big 12 pro day next year and go, hey man, like do they invite those guys? Yeah. Because there are a handful of dudes that probably have business being there, and the coaches usually throw them a bone and say, hey, yeah, come work out at our place. Does that stuff go away too?
I think so. And that would be a shame too, if, you know, like Brandon Whedon shows up at 40 years old, I can still throw it quick
40.
From Oklahoma State and some quarterback gets the axe to make room for old Brandon Whedon or something like that.
You're giving me great content ideas for the off season, Matt, to think of every Big 12's like famous Cam Newton, like alum to go through a pro day. I'm curious, Matt, you know, with what we saw from Jaren Hall today, how do you feel about his draft prospects now? Because I know that before that 4-game losing streak last fall for BYU, I think you and I both kind of agreed that he could have been maybe a late first, second round. I mean, that could have been maybe a really optimistic, but it was trending that way. What do you feel after seeing what he did at Pro Day today? How do you feel about Jaren's draft prospects now?
I feel the same as I did before I went in. I think the Senior Bowl hurt Jaren Hall more than it helped him. I don't think that he played poorly, but his early exit didn't allow him an opportunity to play in that game. And we come to find out later that he wasn't healthy. And so I think the health at the Senior Bowl, which didn't allow him to put his best stuff out there. Plus he was a little banged up at the end of the year. And then in the pro day today, he was good. A low 4.6 is a really good time for a quarterback, and he threw the ball well. But I don't think those numbers were so eye popping that I was like, oh, like this dude has maybe earned himself an extra couple rounds. So after the Senior Bowl, I would say he's anywhere between a 3 to a 6. 3 being at the high end, just because maybe there's one team out there that loves his film and they're going to take a chance on him because they believe in him. That's certainly in play for Jaren Hall. But I don't think he's done anything post the season to where he's jumped himself up another tier. So it's kind of unfortunate that injury in the Stanford game has lingered so long, because the Senior Bowl was a place that he had every opportunity to increase his stock, and that just didn't happen. And then today he did enough to stay where he is. It's not like he's going to slip even more from the pro day, but I didn't think there was anything from today's pro day that necessarily would blow your mind and change how you feel about him.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Matt, as you see some of the other guys that are working out, it's one thing. When you said that about, like, yeah, I don't really change my mind about what we had seen about it. Is that why extra guys, like other GMs, aren't showing up and getting extra out of it? Because they're going, we kind of have seen what we've seen. And at this point, if you do the Senior Bowl, you do the Combine, we don't need to see your pro day too.
Yeah, I think there's certainly some of that. Like, every once in a while, you'll have a pro day like Zach Wilson's or even Will Levis's today, where they throw some crazy passes and maybe someone who was like, we really like him, but we're not sure. And then you just get pushed over the top by a crazy pro day. But one thing I do think has happened over the past couple of years in the NFL is that I do think there is a trend of going back to the film and not necessarily putting more stock into the combine or into a pro day. So I just feel like at this point in the process, with guys like Jaron, Puka, Blake Freeland, all draftable guys, the teams that are in on him, they come here to do some due diligence. And it's probably, pro days are probably even more valuable for interviews and watching interactions and just having off-the-record conversations than it is one throw in a script with John Beck that changes someone's opinion. So, and that's the way that I think it should be. Like, Jaron Hall, Blake Freeland, Puka Nacua, these dudes put great film with their play in the field their past couple of years. If teams that love them, I think will fall back on that and say, you know, Jaron Hall played great against the elite competition on BYU's schedule the last 2 years. He has outstanding numbers. He takes care of the football. He has a high yards per completion. Like, that's what matters. The pro day doesn't matter. Senior Bowl doesn't really matter. So I think at this point, the teams that come to BYU's pro day are just – doing some due diligence, and maybe there's a gem that can find. But at this stage in the NFL draft, I think a lot of the work is done, and you're just dotting the I's and crossing the T's on potential prospects.
Gaze into the crystal ball, Matt. 5 years from now, which of these guys is going to still be in the league and having the best NFL career? Who do you think? Who would you put your bet on?
I'd put my bet on Jaron Hall. I just think everything he did the past 2 years in actual football games is what absolutely translates to the NFL. When you have his first year as a starter, he had a 4-1 TD to INT ratio, which was very good. And that had wins against Utah, Arizona State, Washington State. Like, it was a very good year. And then his follow-up year, he increases that to 6-1. Like, that's one of the most important things about being an NFL quarterback is taking care of the football, making sound decisions. That's what Jaron Hall is to a T. And I think his type of game is exactly where the quarterback position is right now in the NFL. You got to be mobile, but you got to have a throw-first mentality. You have to be able to throw on the run, make good decisions, take care of the football. I mean, how many bad decisions can you think of from Jaron Hall throughout his career? Two or three? There was that bad play against Arizona State that resulted in Tyler Allgeier making a heroic play. That's like the obvious one. And I think there might have been a bad
Notre Dame pick on the first play, Liberty for sure.
But
oh yeah,
there's only a handful of bad decisions. He played hundreds of snaps, and we're talking about four or five really boneheaded plays because the dude takes care of the football. So Jaron Hall, to me, I think is going to translate beautifully to the NFL.
Matt Biamonte, you can hear he and Mitch Harper tomorrow on KSL News Radio for Cougar Sports Saturday, noon to 3. And then you guys, I know you're looking forward. You do what I do, the most amazing week of all,
yes,
of all year long, general conference weekend, where you can take a break from Cougar Sports Saturday. One Saturday off every 6 months. That's what we're going to do for you. By the way, LSU's head coach wearing a feather boa that is sewn into a blazer jacket on the sidelines.
Her swag is incredible.
There is an amazing subreddit that is called I'm the Main Character. Her team does not matter at this point. This lady wants everybody to see her on the sidelines. I didn't see what the quarter ended up being. I think they're either up by – it might be tied to the quarter. They were sent to the line, I think, with – LSU was sent to the line, and the Utes were up just by a point before that. So I didn't see how it ended up. But it's a very closely contested game down in South Carolina. As soon as That game goes final or goes to halftime. We're going to get Jeremiah Jensen on the horn here with us. Give us his thoughts on that first half. In the meantime, let's take a quick break. We will come back, and we are going to jam a little bit more. It's a weekend. What are the odds? Next, we're going to make Mitch Harper participate in this one, and we'll give you the odds for what's going to happen this weekend. Much, much more to go. Stay with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.